Praise God. Hallelujah. You might be wondering, what was that all about? Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you, as I was standing here, I started to pray. I just started, wasn't even like I could see it, but I could see it. I can't even say I was like just looking in a direction, so don't think I was looking at you, but I knew I just couldn't take my eyes, kind of my eyes were closed. I couldn't take my eyes off that place in that direction. And, you know, I just didn't want to leave that place. You know, when you get, when you find that connection with God, when you start getting into those things, that's a place. You know, my wife had mentioned some things during announcements and stuff, and you know, the answer to a lot of people from our hearts is, yeah, you don't think we just do this because, like, we're deceived or because we're brainwashed or something like that, but we really devote our lives to doing this because we've seen something of God that won't let us go backwards. You know, and I think it's proven, especially, you know, this is precious times, the early years. You know, we've been here almost right about 8 years now, and we're getting really close to it in April, right? We'll be here 8 years, and you know, 8 years is still a baby church. 8 years is still a new beginning, and even though we've been here and we've established something, it isn't established completely, and there's still things that God's taking us into, and we're learning, and we're growing, and that's part of a local church. That's part of being, you know, in a good place with the Lord. But you know, in these early years, you know, there's a lot of things that you'll sacrifice early on in your faith. A lot of times in your faith in the early years, you'll sacrifice, you know, maybe if you start tithing for the first time, if anyone's done that, they know that it doesn't seem like there's instant turnaround, because there isn't. God isn't an instant God. As I was been on this, you know, and this is just a personal thing that the Lord had dealt with me on. I'm not saying it to lead anybody else or anything like that, but the Lord had started dealing with me about my health, and he started dealing with me about my weight. In particular, my weight in certain things, and not for the purpose of having a good beach body, a bikini body, hallelujah, because I probably am still not going to wear one of them. But he's been dealing with me on doing it, and so I started on this process of doing it, but I wanted to do it in a sustainable way. And if anybody's tried to do weight loss or whatever, you know that it's a work. And, you know, I was seeking the Lord, and why is it so difficult? And what he was showing me is, you know, the good things don't just come to us, because then things that just come to us typically aren't embraced. There's nothing built. And what God wants in us is character. And so when we connect to his word, the reason he does things over a process of time is because he wants to build good character. And this is why the Bible directs us to do things right and to make good choices and stuff like that. It isn't just about making God happy, but it's about what it develops in us. Because God, you know, we've seen this in our life. You know, well, the Bible says, if you're not faithful in what's the least, he won't bless you with the much. And why would you do that? You wouldn't give anybody, you know, if you gave somebody a car and they trashed it, you wouldn't go out and try to buy them a more expensive car. And if you did, you're a fool, because that's just not a wise investment. And so that's the thing, you know, if somebody's going to waste their time or waste their money, why would God want to give them more? And so he builds character in them. You know, if people are going to waste their life, they're just going to spend their life just doing what they want, why would he give them more of his life? You know, and so in the early stages, a lot of times in the early years, you know, you go without things. Sometimes, you know, we think about things like, oh, we got to save money for a plowing bill, or we got to save money for a new thermostat. Glory to God. We're having that issue in Corey where we have to replace the thermostats. But you don't just go out and replace them when they're expensive, because, you know, you wait for the money, or a computer that's coming up that we have to replace and things like that. And I'm not saying any of that to try to stir you, but I'm just saying that that's kind of the early stages of anything. And so in the early stages, you're always like, man, it just doesn't seem like these things are coming to pass the way that I want them to. But what God wants to build in you is character, because character can maintain for a long time what a lack of character can't hold for a second. And that's such a truth that we have to understand. God wants good character in us. Good character is somebody who you can give $10 to and they don't just go blow it. Good character is somebody that you can give something nice to and they're going to appreciate it and take care of it. Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember the story of this man who was seeking the Lord for a bed, because he had a bed, but it was a really bad, really poor bed. Or maybe it was a bicycle. I can't remember what it was. Either way, it doesn't matter. It was something that wasn't working right, and he wanted something better. And he's like, Lord, I serve you. I just want this. I just want something nicer. And finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, you haven't thanked me for the one that you have yet. You know, and there's a certain thankfulness that we need to have. You know, we want God to bless us with more. We go to God praying for more, but we don't sit and think about the things that God has already done for us and thank Him for those things. And so a lot of times, you know, the things that are off are just because we haven't seen what we have to see yet. Do you know, adversity will bring you in a place in your life to where you can see good and where you can see bad, where you can recognize it. Amen? Praise the Lord. As my wife said, you know, we met this homeless man the other day, and we walked with him, and then we actually got a chance, we got an opportunity to pray for him. And so we're standing on there in the middle of a street in a big city, and this isn't to puff us up, because honestly, it wasn't something that we expected. In fact, at first, I was trying to figure out how to get away from him. But you know, as the Lord, as we walked through the day, and that little bit of time, and we talked with him more and more, you know, we got to that opportunity where we got to pray for him. We asked him, his name was Timothy. We said, Timothy, can we pray for you? And he said, and he got excited and said he would love it. And so he insisted that there was four of us and one of him, and he insisted that we stood there in a circle and we held hands and prayed. And I thought that was quite beautiful. But after we prayed for him, he prayed for us. You know, and that's character. Now, this man obviously had more need than I could even imagine at the moment. But the fact of the matter, we didn't just pray for him. We gave him some food, money for food and stuff like that. We weren't going against what the Bible says. It's just say, be warm and be filled, pray a nice prayer and send you on your way. Glory to God. But we actually wanted to take part of it and being a blessing to him. But that wasn't the point. We wanted to sit and talk with him, you know. And one of the things, this was special. You know, he said to us, I haven't showered in four. He hasn't said, I haven't bathed in 4 months. You know, and it didn't surprise me. I mean, he's been living outside. But when, he said to me, can I have a hug? And that was just so precious. And I hugged him, and he embraced me just so. It wasn't weird. It wasn't anything like, but he just embraced me and just hugged me. And you could tell that he hadn't even had a hug in a while. You know, and I think about that, like, so often we're, you know, and there's a lot of scams out there and stuff like that. I don't just give money to every homeless person, but I do seek the Lord and stuff like that when there's opportunity. And, you know, here was an opportunity, and it presented itself in such a way. But as we did that, you know, that knowledge of that. But this man was willing to give out of himself. And prayer is giving out of yourself. You know, if you take the time to pray for somebody, even if it's a short prayer, glory to God. You know, there's something, we have that frame in my back room that I look at, and I see your beautiful faces come up before me. And sometimes, you know, just depending on how I look, I don't look at any regular intervals. I just look as I look. And sometimes some of your faces will end up coming up more because I just happen to look when your face comes up, you know. And there's an instant thought that, well, I've already prayed for them 5 times today. You know, and it's not like some great in-depth prayer. I'm not interceding in your behalf. I'm not calling angels into the room. And, you know, I mean, if the Lord told me to do that, of course I would. But, you know, there's just that, that time. I've learned to just go with it and just say something, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. But keeping those things before you, it's a precious thing when somebody takes time to do that. But here's a man with need, and he prayed a faith prayer over us. And I received it. I wasn't standing there, well, I'm the pastor. In fact, we didn't even tell him we were pastors, but he knew obviously that we were Christians, and you know, and it's just a beautiful thing, praise the Lord. But it's all about character, you know. This man is willing to give out of himself when he has nothing. That's character. And so you can see character even in somebody who has nothing. And so even if you're in a place where you have nothing or don't have a lot, it doesn't mean there's not something you can put out. It doesn't mean there's not something that you can do. Amen. And but that's what character is all about. See, we so often that's what faith is all about, and that's what we're talking about. You know, I actually changed the. I started naming these. I think I was talking about the blessed life is what I was calling these services that I've been preaching about faith. But I actually changed that to be simple faith, and so we're going to change that today. You can go ahead and pull it up. Simple faith. This is simple faith, part three. Praise the Lord. Faithful or fakeful. Glory to God, and we're continuing on this journey about faith, but that's what faith is. Faith isn't that I have something, so I'm going to give it. Faith is I have something, so I'm going to give it. Do you understand? It's not that I, what do I have? What could I possibly? You know, it's like we talked about the loaves and the fish with the young man who brought the loaves and the fish, and they said, but what is this among so many? Right. And Jesus said, it doesn't matter that you have enough. It matters that you bring what you have. And that's what that's the whole basis of our faith is. Bring what you have. You know, there's some people that sit here and they think, well, I don't have anything. You've got something. And what you got might not be money. It might not be things. It might not be intelligence. Maybe you've just had an awful life and you really have nothing that you think there's something that you can offer. Maybe it starts with a kind word. Maybe it starts with a prayer. Maybe it starts with a desire. Lord, I want to dig into more of you to be effective, to know something more. And see, this is the life that we should be living. But we're distracted. We're distracted by TV. We're distracted by iDevices or Android devices. We're distracted by Alexa and Siri and everything else that wants to speak up in our lives in the day. We're distracted by Netflix. We're distracted by our jobs. We're distracted by, well, man, I don't have enough. That's one of the greatest distractions of Christians of any. Yeah. And I don't care where you're at, because where you're at, you're never going to feel like you have enough. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You can have absolutely nothing today and be sitting here. Maybe there's someone here with absolutely nothing. I would be willing to bet, don't raise your hands, but I'd be willing to bet if I asked for a raise of hands how many people have $0 in a bank account or don't have a bank account at all, I bet you there's at least more than one person in here like that. But you know something? You can have $100,000 in a bank account and still feel like you have nothing. It doesn't matter, because it's not those things that fulfill us. And I'm not saying that you don't need that, so forget about it. I'm saying take your focus off of that. Take your focus off of what you don't have and start looking at what you do have. Because if you want faith to start working, you got to start filling yourself with faith. And there's a way to do that, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm glad you came today. I'm excited for what God has for us. Before I get too deep into the message, though, and none of that was the message. That wasn't even introduction. That was pre-introduction. But I just want to tell you, you know, we are in a time, we're getting to a place where we don't have a lot of places to put snow in the parking lot. And if we get too much more snow this year, we probably will have to have some trucked away. But currently, we're not going to do that, just because it is so expensive and I don't think there's need to do so yet. So if you come, maybe you come after other people have gotten here and there's not good parking space, just go ahead. If you got to park across the street, park across the street. Or if you want to double up. I don't care what you do. Back in that corner, you can start doing that, you know, and then we can figure out how to get you out of here later. Amen. But don't never go away from church because there wasn't a parking spot. That would be foolish. Amen. Glory to God. I remember going to a movie once and there wasn't a place to sit, so we stood and watched the movie. Now, if people, and there's a lot of people that do that kind of thing, you know. There are people that were standing, it was a House of Blues. We're just walking by it. And there was people standing in the cold, freezing rain, just standing there waiting to get in it. They're just waiting to get in it. Praise the Lord. Waiting in the cold, freezing rain to get in it. So you don't let something like not having a seat or something like that, praise the Lord, turn you away from coming to church. Amen. Okay, public service announcement's over. We are getting into the message. Amen. The heart of this message is, are you going through the motions? Why do we do this thing we call Christianity? We've been talking about faith, simple faith, and really faith should be simple. We should keep it simple. So often we overcomplicate it. We overcomplicate the things of God. It doesn't need to be that. You know, I often like to preach about, like even if I talk about prayer, there are specifics that the Bible talks about prayer, but we don't have to start off worrying about all that. What we need to do is just start simply with prayer, and prayer is just simply speaking to God. And so we can do that in various forms. How do you speak to a person? How do you communicate in your life? Think about all the ways that you'll communicate to your spouse. Wives, I want you to think about this. How do you communicate without words to your husband when you're not happy with him? Does he know that you're not happy with him? Certainly he does. Husbands, if you're annoyed with your wives, can you communicate without saying words to your wife? See, you can communicate. You know how to communicate even without the expression of words. And so maybe you don't even know the right words to say or how to say it. But you start by just doing something. You point your heart towards God and you start in that process. And of course, I'm not belittling learning. There are things that we need to learn and to get more effective. Absolutely. But it all starts with a desire. If we keep it simple, you know what's really awesome about this? And I know because there's, as I look out into the crowd here and I see different people, I see people that are newer to the faith, I see people that have been in the faith for a long time. But this is the thing that I've learned, even as a pastor, even leading two churches now, and trying to, grow my family or lead my family and stuff like that. In all of that, one of the things that the Lord always brings me back to when I've mucked things up and overcomplicated things, he always brings me back to this place of making it simple. Just get back to simplicity. Because God didn't make things, he didn't make things to have to be difficult. Sure, there's greater in depths of God and there's different things out there that we should shoot for and that we should desire. But sometimes God just wants us to come to him in a simple way and just come before him and say, Father, I just love you. I just want to be in your presence. Yeah. Do you know, sometimes God just wants us to be in his presence. Not to say anything, not to get anything. Just to be in his presence. Simple faith. Faith isn't hard. And when we learn about this, as we learn about this, we're going to learn that it's the best way of walking out the Christian life. In fact, there's most peace in this place. It's not hard. Amen? So the question that I ask you, are you going through the motions? Are you going through the motions of faith? Are you going through the motions of being a Christian? Are you just showing up to church to show up to church? Are you just showing up to church because it's what Christians do? Are you just praying because it's what you should do? Or are you praying because you really want to know God? Are you seeking God? Amen? Of course, we start Mark 11:22. We know the scripture. We've been there. This is kind of our key scripture for this, if you want to call it a series. This is kind of the one we're pointing to. And I always bring you back to this. It's a very important scripture. And I think it's very important the way it's read. I know other people have read it other ways and they've read into it other ways. And I'm not saying that stuff is wrong. I'm not pointing to that. But I'm talking about let's look at the scripture for what it says, read what it says, and get what it says. Amen? We don't have to make it more complicated than it needs to be. Let's start with what it says and go from there. Amen? And Jesus answered saying to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. It's a simple statement. It's a simple request. Having faith in God, of course, means to trust in God or to have assurance in God. Praise the Lord. Jesus's faith, his trust in God, is what moved him to act. Now, of course, in context, we know that this is dealing with the fig tree when Jesus had cursed the fig tree and he had cursed it one day and they came back days later or whatever. And as they walked by it, one of the disciples, I think it was Peter, said to Jesus, said, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed has dried up from the roots. It did exactly what you said it was going to do. And how did Jesus respond? Have faith in God. Trust God. And what was he saying by this? See, Jesus lived and walked and talked in faith. The way he went about his life was in faith. And we're going to know what faith is. I believe by the time I'm done with this sermon, you're not going to be able to not know what faith is. Right. I believe that by faith. Hallelujah. I am trusting God to get everything we need out in this service so that you can walk out of here with a grasp on what faith really is. And again, I even sit there, and if you know what faith is, I'm telling you, sit and listen and stir your faith, because that's all this is. It's a faith-stirring kind of message. Amen? Have faith in God. Have assurance. Have trust. Put it all in with God. Trust him. Trust him. Listen, don't even go to prayer until you get having faith in God. I said, don't go to prayer until you get this. In fact, if you're going to go to prayer, the first thing you should go to is Mark 11:22. And read this, and then go to prayer. Yeah. Why? Because prayer without faith ain't going to do you any good. Right. A prayer that's not prayed in faith doesn't get you anywhere. Do you understand that? Right. The Word teaches us this. Yeah. Jesus didn't pray prayers that he didn't know were going to go somewhere. He prayed prayers he knew were going to go somewhere. And so if you're going to pray, you need to go in faith. In fact, the Bible tells us that whatever is done apart from faith is called sin. Thank you. Whatever is done apart from faith, or whatever is done not in faith, whatever is done not in assurance that it's okay with God, whatever is done with not trust in God is sin. What you thought sin was just when going out to a bar or fornicating or stealing something. That's definitely sin. Those are all things that are sin. But what about not trusting God? Going to God in prayer and saying, Lord, I don't know if you'll answer, Lord. I don't know if God wants to hear me. The Bible tells us opposite that. The Bible says you have confidence knowing that he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, then you should have confidence in knowing that you're going to get what you called for. Praise the Lord. But you got to go in faith. And you say, well, I don't know if I can ask this in faith. Then you better first seek if it's even the will of God. Yeah. See, a lot of people are just out there asking for anything and everything. They say, well, I want this or I want that. I want to live here. I want to live there. But they've never even asked God if it's something that he has for them. They've never sought God. God, is this something that you want for me? Is this something that is? See, we could just randomly go about our day. And see, this is what the real stirring of this message is, to walk through life with faith. We need to walk through our day with purpose. Have purpose in everything that we do. And when I mean have purpose, I don't mean, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to take a half hour to an hour every morning, and I'm going to figure out my entire day. I'm going to have a purpose. That's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes you don't have time for purpose. Any mothers of young ones can say amen to that. They know, glory to God, you got to make decisions on the fly sometimes, and that's okay. But you can still make decisions on the fly with purpose, especially if you set off and said, oh, you know what? I'm going to spend my life in purpose. Yeah. I'm going to purpose to purpose. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. That's the best place to start with purpose, is the purpose to purpose. Mm-hmm. Purpose to have purpose. Just some way. You know why people get depressed? No purpose. That's the truth. I know, because I have lived depression, folks. I know depression upside down, backwards. I know it left and right. I know depression, the depths of depression that will cause you to want to take your life. I understand depression. But depression comes from a lack of purpose. Do you know where I get the most depressed? Is when I look at things that I've accumulated and thought, man, I thought this would make me happy, and I'm not happy. See, when I was poor, when I had nothing, I looked at what I didn't have and thought, surely that would make me happy. When I got to where it was that I had that stuff, I realized, don't make me happy. And guess what? I was just as depressed as I was before, because I had no purpose. If your purpose is to attain things, once you attain things, you're just going to have to attain something else, because that thing will never bless you. Now, God isn't opposed to us having things or nice things, but the purpose cannot be those things, because he has not designed us to be blessed by what we get. You have not been designed to be blessed by what you get, how much money you make, how many cars you have, what kind of house you have, how pretty or how ugly your spouse is. God don't care about any of that. None of his blessing has anything to do with that. So it has nothing to do with that. You've been blessed. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Just going to break it up a little bit there. But, you know, here's the thing. We God has not determined our blessing by the things that we see, but our walk with him. Our faith in him, our trust in him, trust God. Jesus moved through his life with faith. That's why he could speak to the fig tree and curse it and know that it would die. Who wants to know that when you speak to something that it comes to pass? Who wants to know that when you pray something, it's going to happen? How many want to know that? The Bible promises that, but it doesn't promise it to everybody. I said it doesn't promise it to everybody. You know, we love Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love that scripture too, but I'm going to tell you that scripture does not apply to every single person. It doesn't apply to every single Christian. It only applies to Christians who actually care and desire and then do. I said care and desire and then do. I said care and desire, then do the will of God. It doesn't apply to a Christian who sits on their butt and does nothing for the plan of God. It doesn't apply to a Christian who could care less about reading the word. It doesn't apply to a Christian who wants to go out there and live like the world and then come in here on Sunday and call themselves a Christian. It doesn't apply to any of those people. You can't do all things through Christ who strengthens you, because if you're living for the world, even as a Christian, Christ is not strengthening you. You are getting drawn on from the devil. And you are deluded and deceived by the devil. Christian, if you don't have control over you, if there isn't control in your life, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is walking closely with God, I don't know how you got me on all this, but I feel some boldness coming on me. Amen? Praise the Lord. One of the fruits of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. One of the fruits of the Spirit of walking with God is this little thing we like to call self-control. Self-control. If you have no control in your life, you need to get closer to the Spirit of God. If you don't have any, remember I said anxiety last, what was it, last week I said anxiety is a warning sign?
Yeah.
I remember I showed you 2 weeks ago, right?
Yep.
Showed you my iPad and it said warning. Big bold letters. Warning. Anxiety is a warning sign. What's a warning? You're out of faith.
Yeah.
Anxiety is a warning sign. Get back in faith.
Yeah.
It isn't to be scared. That's not what it's for. It's a warning. You're out of faith.
Yeah.
And so if you want to get out of anxiety, the way you're going to get out of anxiety, does anyone know? Get in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are getting somewhere and we're getting there quick. Amen. In case you didn't know, the devil will always inspire you to doubt. That's his job. Not God-given job, but that's what the job he's taken. You know, some of you working jobs that God hasn't given you, just working it because you think it's what you ought to do. Well, the devil's got a job he just thinks he ought to do, and he keeps doing it. And the reason that he keeps doing it is because it keeps paying out for him. Ouch, hallelujah. Can you know that? I mean, the devil keeps doing what he's doing because people keep falling victim to him. Do you know if the devil ceased to be effective in your life and other people's lives, do you know that he would just give up? Why? Because he's the most depressed person that we know. He's the most scared person that the most scared individual. Why? Because his destiny is hell and he knows it.
Yeah.
He can't stop that destiny. That's his destiny is hell. Now listen, if you knew that you have no choice but hell in the future, you'd be scared too. And that's what the devil's doing. He's trying to stir people up. He isn't up there laughing or out in wherever laughing. He isn't getting excited about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. Let's go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 5. Praise God. We're going to live in faith. We're going to activate faith. Are we faithful or fakeful? Christians that don't live in faith are fakeful. They're claiming one thing, but they ain't showing it.
Yeah, right.
Listen, Christian literally means of Christ.
Yes.
Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a description of who Jesus was.
Yeah.
Christ means that he is Savior, right?
Yeah.
So if you are of Christ, you are of the Savior. If you're of the Savior, that means you're being saved. If your life is chaos and not being saved, then how Christ-like are you? How of Christ are you? But see, God bestows this on us without any action on our part, just receiving it. So we might as well live what God sees us as, right? We might as well live as saved. You don't have to wait till you die. Isn't that the greatest thing? You don't have to wait till you die to be saved. God wants to save you now, but it's going to take faith to get there, and faith ain't hard. Where did I tell you to go? Ephesians 5. Amen. We've been in here a lot lately. I think we're going back to it again. But for a different purpose. Ephesians 5:15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Okay, here's the direction. Be careful how you walk. If someone says, be careful how you walk, you have a choice on how you're going to walk.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know, we say, use this example, or I used it last night, I'll use it again. A lot of times, you know, on sidewalks, there's lots of poop, especially in cities. There's people like to walk their dogs and they don't like to clean up after them. Pet peeve. If you ever do that, you shouldn't own a dog. I'm just telling you the truth. It's just the way it is. If you can't clean up after your dog, I mean, there's once in a while there's accidents. I understand that. But, you know, if you let the dog go on somebody else's property, that's disrespectful. And that's actually not very Christian-like as well. That's free, no charge. But at any rate, we're walking in. A big pet peeve of mine is when people step in poop. Because I don't want it in my car. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my nose as I'm smelling it. I don't want to see it on shoes. I don't want them getting close to me, rubbing up against me, accidentally stepping on my shoes, and then pooping on my shoes. I don't want that. Amen? And so I'm a little bit over the top when you ask my wife. And I, like the other day when we were walking through downtown Cleveland, and there was lots of poop. And I actually got to a part, and I'd been warning them, watch out, watch out, watch out as we're going. And we get to this place, and she wasn't watching out. She was about to. And so I gave it was a love push, huh? She saw it, but I'm sure she didn't, though. That's the point. Praise God. Be careful how you walk. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you're not being careful how you walk. See, how I'm walking is like this. And I see everything. Yeah. I can't even enjoy the city sometimes because I'm looking down. Amen? Praise the Lord. Be careful how you walk. You know, people are stepping in poop all the time. They're like, why does it smell around here? Watch where you walk. Of course, I'm using that as kind of a metaphor. Look at your life. Well, what are you in? What's the trouble that you're in? Look at the trouble you're in and then consider how you walk. And then that can tell you a lot of what you need to do. If where I'm at is because of where I've stepped, then I need to clean off my shoes and start walking a different way. But if where I'm at is because of where someone else steps, then I need to consider who I'm walking with. And if that doesn't work, if where I look at it and it has nothing to do with me at all, well, then I rely on the grace of God to help me walk in the right path. Because God's path has no poop on it. Amen? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. This scripture is another way of saying live your life in faith. Make the most of your time. Live it in faith. Why are we doing what we're doing? See, we can go, like whenever we do something, the Lord speaks to me. You know why the Lord speaks to me whenever we do something? Because I'm always listening for Him to speak. I'm always like, okay, Lord, teach me in life. I think Pastor Michael said this once. He's like, let life be your schoolhouse or your training, your university. That's what he says. And he may have gotten it from somewhere else. So if you heard it somewhere else, that's fine. But the point is we go through life, we can learn a lot. And just because we learn a lot doesn't mean that we judge everybody else. We judge our own life. We look to our own life. Now, we can judge others. We can judge action of others when they do something and it's going to cost us something or they're asking something from us. Absolutely. People, you know, I have no problem giving somebody money, but I do have a problem with giving somebody money who's a poor steward of money. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I said I have a problem giving money, so I'll never give money to somebody I know is a poor steward aside from the Holy Spirit leading me to specifically, which He has, and we do. Amen? But I'm not opposed to being generous to people. I think that one of the number one problems with Christians is they're not generous enough. Yeah. And everybody has a place. It doesn't matter if you're rich. Doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter where you're at. You have some place where you can be generous with people. Amen? Praise God. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Are we looking for, you know, I mean, nobody has to tell you that the day is evil. Nobody has to tell you that there's trials out there. Nobody has to tell you there's things going to come against you. But that's what everybody's looking at. They're not looking at the fact that there's opportunity to make the most of our time, because if there wasn't, God wouldn't have directed us to make the most of the day. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Have you ever had a day where things are just not working? Sure. Maybe that's a clue. Maybe that's a warning. Maybe you need to look at the day a little differently. Maybe you need to turn to God and say, Father, I just don't feel like this is working out. So I need your direction. I'm going to trust you to give it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, a lot of people are like, Lord, if it be your will. Don't ever pray that prayer. Don't ever pray, Lord, if it be your will. Don't, because it's not a prayer that we're told to pray. That's not a prayer of, Lord, if it be your will, give me this thing that I want. Find out what God's will is and then pray accordingly. Yeah. If it's not His will, then be okay with not having it. If it is His will, then stand in faith and believe that God wants to give it to you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's that simple. And if you believed in faith that you think God wanted to give it to you and you found out later that you were just dumb or you ate something, a little indigestion, and you thought it was the Holy Spirit, you know, it was just gas. Sometimes it happens, I suppose. But it was just gas. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's an angel. No, it wasn't an angel. You didn't get poked by an angel. You burped. Glory to God. And so that happens to you, and you find out that you just missed it. That's okay. That's okay. They just be like, okay, I guess it's not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, walking with faith is not hard. The faith life is literally living faith every single day. Living faith. I said it's living faith. So many people miss what God is doing minute by minute. Life is literally progressing right in front of us. Have you, like, listen, if you've had a bad day and you got a lot to do, does the fact that you had a bad day stop the fact that you have a lot to do? and little time to accomplish it. It doesn't. It keeps going, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One thing I've learned as I get older, it seems like as you get older faster. And as you get older faster, and a lot of you know what I'm talking about, amen? Has your life slowed down because there's opposition? No. So you've got a choice then. Am I going to go through this day? Because you know what I used to do? I used to live life in opposition, meaning that every day I was focused on the opposition. Oh, today is bad and everything's just bad and it's just working against me and I just do this and I never get anywhere. And you know why I never got anywhere? Because I never thought that I'd ever get anywhere. Because I never would live in faith. I didn't know how to live in faith, but now we are taught that we can live in faith. We can make our days purposeful, and we should make our days purposeful, for that is the will of the Lord. He said, the days are evil. That's okay. Live your life on purpose anyway.
Right.
Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if the days are evil. It doesn't matter if the devil's coming against you. Do you know how many times I hear people magnifying the devil? Oh, the devil, I mean, this happens across the board. And so if you've said this to me even in recently, don't think I'm just picking on you, because I hear this all the time. The devil's after me here. I'm battling this. The devil's fighting me here. Who cares? He's fighting all of us. That's what he does. You know what you need to start doing? You need to start magnifying the Lord. Yes, instead of looking, oh, the devil's, who cares what the devil's doing? He's doing what he wants to do. If you want to get out of that, do what God says to do, which is to have faith. Jesus didn't look at it and say, yeah, the tree bothered me and all this stuff and it ruined my day. And he said, the tree didn't give me food. I cursed it and it died. And that was the faith of God, because I walk in faith and I know the things I'm going to say. I'm not going to say things that are against God. Now, see, you have to get to a place of learning before you're not going to say it, before you say everything perfect like Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm not saying start off as perfect as Jesus, but he was giving us a principle to live by faith in God. Praise God. We need to live by that faith. We need to stir it up. We need to allow it to be something in our life, because you know what living in trial does? It continues you living in trial. Amen. You know, I had this thought once. Like, if I was homeless, this is just a thought, and I realize, and this is being real light of it, but this is just a real light way of looking at it to make an illustration. This isn't picking on homeless people. But I thought, if I was homeless, I would want to be homeless somewhere where it's warm, not where it's cold. And so if I had nothing, like no food, nothing, I mean, I was homeless, I had nothing, right? Just whatever I had on my back, I'm going to start walking. And if where I start walking gets cold, I'm going to turn around walking the other direction, because I know I must be going north, I want to go south. Right? That's what I would do. And of course, I understand that there's a lot of things. But the point is that if you stay where you're at, things aren't going to change. If you stay soaking up what you've always soaked up, if you got garbage coming into your life and it's causing trial, and you just stay there allowing the trial to be caused, then guess what's going to happen? You're not going to ever get out of trial. It will be trial. I can't pray it to stop. People do this, you know, I've learned this as a pastor, because we've done lots of counseling, and over the years I've just seen it, but we've counseled people a lot on finances. It's a big thing with people. It's maybe one of the number one struggles in a household is finances. And you know what the problem is? The problem almost completely, almost 100% of the time, is not that there isn't enough money, it's the money that there is being used the wrong way.
Right.
It's that people don't think of things. I think it was, I wanted to use this example. I hope you'll mind, John, if I use you as an example, something you had come to me about. We had done, yeah, I'm going to use it anyways, but I wanted to get his permission anyway. Should always praise God, hallelujah. That's how pastors do. You know, if I can't call on you to use an example, then that just means that I can't trust you enough to stay here yet, and so I have to be nice to you, extra nice. No. John is with us. John and Liz are with us. They're good. But one time we had done a financial seminar to help, kind of help people. It was one that we had given. It changed our lives, and we had done it. And praise the Lord. And they went through it, and they came to us afterwards and said, you know, we realized that there was areas of our lives that we weren't even paying attention to. And that we would just go to, they would just randomly stop at a convenience store and spend, you know, $10, $15. This was like many years ago, and I don't know what they're doing today. So if they're doing it today, well, then there's your answer. But if you're not, praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying. I'm just kidding. But no, they came to us and they said, you know, it really opened our eyes to some things. And I was like, exactly, that's what it did for us as well. And so a lot of times, and Jesus talked a lot about stewardship. See, people, listen, if you're a poor steward, if you're a poor steward with the things that you have, let's just get off the money topic for a minute. If you're a poor steward, did I leave that okay? I didn't leave that like it was in.
Yeah.
Always want to be careful. Whenever you say someone's name, you never want to leave it like, oh, the pastor hates me now or something like that. No, no, it was a good example, like, because they saw it, you know. But whatever it is in life, if you're a poor steward of it, God isn't going to bless you with more. He isn't going to take you higher, because that's not living in faith. Amen? So life is progressing in front of us. We want a better life, but the life that we're living, we're not living it good. You have a place to live the life that you're living good. And what I mean by good is, don't wrap up your ideas of good and God's ideas of good. Your ideas of good are, I need $1 million before it's good. Well, guess what? That's not God's idea of good, and you're not necessarily going to get that before you're living the good life. I'm not saying you can't have $1 million. I don't know. That's between you and God. But what I am saying is that's not His standard. God's standard of good, well, if you want to really understand what it is, you look at what the fruits of the Spirit are, starting in Galatians 5:22, and you start reading about the fruits of the Spirit, and you'll understand what God, love, joy, peace, goodness, I can't even repeat them all, kindness, patience, yeah, and there's different, depending on what version you read, there's different, long-suffering, glory to God, self-control, I said that maybe before, I'll say it again, because it's all these things God wants to put in us, but if we're not allowing Him to work, if we're not doing those things, amen, we're not living a faith life. I wrote this down, and I think it's really interesting. Every faithless pause is an opportunity to miss God. Every faithless pause. You know what a faithless pause is? Something happens in your life. Do you know that? Does anyone in here not know that the devil isn't going to try to rob your day? Right? Everybody really knows that, right? I mean, only 3 people answered, but I'm pretty sure all of you know. You know, at least just nod your head or something, or make your wife or husband nod for you or something. Just, but like everybody knows that the devil's bad, right? In case you didn't know that, I'm telling you now, devil's bad. Kids, devil is bad. He's going to try to rob your day. So that means that there's always going to be opportunities to come against your day. If there's an opportunity to come against your day, the devil is trying to make the most of his opportunity as well. And so if there's an opportunity to come against your day, he's going to bring it. But what do Christians do? They get an opposition against their day, against their life, against their week, against their job, against their spouse, against their kids, against whatever it is, against their paycheck, against their finances, against against whatever. There's all kinds of against that the devil's going to bring against you. And so what we do is we have these godless, faithless pauses where something happens and we look at it. And there's nothing wrong with looking at something. But a pause that remains, a pause that becomes a stay, is a pause that's going to take you out of the will and plan of God. It will stop God's flow in your life, because God's flow is a river. Bible says out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. When God equates the Spirit to something, He equates Him to water or wind, something that's moving, something that's flowing, something that doesn't stop, something you can't see coming, something that you can't see going, but something that you know was there. That's how God wants our lives to live. He wants us to live Spirit-filled lives. And the only way that you will live a Spirit-filled life is by faith. But faith, we have to understand, first, how do you live by faith? Faith first is trusting and having assurance in God. If you're not there, you have to go back there, because you can't start until you get there. You have to at least see it first. But then once you see that that's what you see, let me say it this way. Faith is trust and assurance in God. But a lot of people look at it and say, but I don't trust God. Yeah. I don't have assurance in God. And I understand that. But faith isn't meant, Jesus said to have faith. It means that, and I know what you're thinking, and the reason I'm going slow with this is because I've been there myself. But what do you mean, have faith? I don't have faith. Yeah, right. No, the Bible says to have faith. Yeah. It says to have it. Yeah. If I got $20 in my hand, and I come up to you and I say, brother or sister, I want you to have this $20. And you say to me, well, I don't have $20. No, I'm giving you $20. Yeah. Have $20. Yeah. What do you got to do? You got to take it. How do you have faith in God? You go to Mark 11:22. You read, have faith in God. Recognize Jesus said it. Or at least tell yourself, even if you don't recognize it, tell yourself, Jesus said it, because it says Jesus somewhere right around here. Jesus said it, so I'm going to have it. I'm going to take it. The first step of faith is taking it. But wait, Pastor Jeff, how do you have it if you don't have it? You take it. I'm just going to take it. Have faith in God. Okay. Father, I have faith in you. I'm taking it by faith. Why? Because you said to have it. That's the first step. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. We might as well just get there because... Praise the Lord. One of the greatest blessings in my life, as we turn to James 2:14, one of the greatest blessings in my life, personally, was when I got to a place where I realized nothing that I did worked. Everything I tried failed. It was the greatest blessing in my life. At the time, I thought it was the greatest example of how much of a loser I was. But what I've learned since then is it's the greatest blessing that ever happened to me. Because when I got to a place where I could do nothing good, God said, all right, now there's room for me to come in and do something. Hallelujah. Because I could do nothing good, and even when I did something almost good, it still wasn't quite good enough. But God stepped in and said, now that you recognize it, see, what I recognize is that I didn't have a choice. And when you're left with no more choice, guess what you do to the only option you've got? And when the only option that you got is God, see, some of you need is to get to a place where you have no choices. You know, sometimes when somebody starts down a bad road, they start backpedaling, maybe getting away from God a little bit, and they start making some bad choices. But they won't see that they're making bad choices, so they keep going down that road. You know what God does? He allows them to go down the road. Go further. Go ahead, go further. He's there. He's not far from them. But go ahead, go further. He'll let you go further. He will let people go all the way to the point. I'll tell you what, I had a shotgun in my mouth, sucking on the barrel of a loaded shotgun. Kids, don't try that. It's a bad, bad thing. But that's exactly the truth. That's how fur I went. But that's when the Lord could start dealing with me. I wasn't enough, but he was. I wasn't enough, but he was, and I had to see that. You don't need to go that far. Amen. But I had to realize that I had to rely on something else because I couldn't do it. If you're at a place where doors have closed, if you're at a place where you can't get through, if you're at a place where there's no more breakthrough for you, if you're at that place, even if you've been at a level of faith, you're at a good spot. Because you're at a place where you can yield it to him. You're at a place where you can do what Jesus said. You can have faith in God. You can take it upon yourself. You can receive the faith that he has provided for you. Because just the same as he's provided salvation. You know what keeps a person from being saved? Not taking salvation. Not receiving it. He says have salvation. In so many words, that's what the Bible tells us. Have salvation. If you don't take it, you never have it. Right. And so how do? You take it. Now we're going to see this here, James 2:14. What use is it, my brethren, sister, you're included, if someone says he has faith but has no works, can that faith save him? The answer is no. Faith is not faith until it's activated. I can sit there and look at you sitting down all day long and say, we want to go on a trip. We do this with my daughter. I love my daughter. She's real good. She's a real wonderful young woman. We're blessed by her. But sometimes there's things, you know, that kids do that just aren't always a blessing. And one of those things, sometimes, especially when you have a teenage daughter, and it's no offense to you, you're a teenager, and that's part of your role in life at this point, amen, is to be a teenager. But sometimes we'll be like, Ezra, we got to go. She's like, I know. A few minutes later, we say, Ezra, we got to go. She says, I know. You don't understand. I said we had to go the first time. That means we have to go. This isn't like, oh, Dad's giving you a five-minute warning. If it was a five-minute warning, I'd say, hey, they're a five-minute warning. But I say, what would be that, too? We do that, too. We do that, too, yeah. We got to go. What is that? That's not acting in faith, and I'm not saying that she's not, you know, a faithless girl. That's not the point. You know, we all have those struggles. I certainly could use enough of my own, but she just needed picked on this morning, so we picked on her. To activate faith, we have to do something with it. Faith doesn't just come upon us. It doesn't just appear. It's not just something that, oh, out of nowhere, God, give me more faith. That's not, Bible says that faith comes by hearing. But see, when you hear something in the word, you're supposed to do something with it. And this is what we're reading here. What is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and is in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? That's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, see, we live in a day and age where this can kind of be a little bit difficult, because really in this country, or in this nation, for the most part, I'm not saying there isn't examples or places out there where it could happen, but for the most part, if you're somebody who does not have a meal, you can get one somewhere. You can get one somewhere. There was a guy standing on the street. Actually, we think it was Timothy, but he was standing on the street the night in the evening, and he was singing a song and doing a dance, trying to get some money for a hot meal. Trying to get some money for a hot meal. What was he doing? Trying to get some money for a hot meal. There was change in his cup. He was going to eat something.
Yeah.
It might not have been big, but it was going to be something. Most people are not destitute of food. That means they have nothing, and they'll never get anything. They have no way of obtaining it. We live in a much different culture than it was then. But anyway, at any rate, but still the principle applies. If we don't do something and we're able, that's not faith. You can't pray over somebody in faith and then do nothing for it. You can't say, you know what, I'm going to pray over your finances and not do anything for it to help it. You can't say, you know what, I'm going to pray that enough money comes in to pay off the church, but then never give any money to pay off the church. And I'm not talking about the money you already give for tithes and offerings, but I'm talking about making, oh boy, I'm preaching real good here right now. You can't say, I'm gonna pray for missions, that missions are supported, and then not support them. If it's on your heart to be praying, it's probably also on your heart to be doing. You just ain't willing to do. And if you're not willing to do, then you're not in faith. And if you're not in faith, you don't have enough to even pray for yet. You need to go back to Mark 11:22 and start, oh, Lord, this is on my heart. And if this is on my heart, that must mean I got to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know there's a lot of Christians that would love to complicate other people's lives about what they'll let them do or inspire them to do? Well, Pastor, you should do this more. Or you should do this. Or brother or sister, you should do this. You should give to this or give to that. Do you give to this or give to that?
Yeah.
Don't even talk about somebody else should give unless you're a giver. If you're not a giver, don't even go there.
Right.
At least don't do it to my face. Praise the Lord, because I'll tell you what'll happen. Doug smarted off to me before service. And without commenting on that, what happened before service? What did I do, Doug? I knocked you right in the face, right? Yeah. Actually, I was trying to hug Tammy. Instead, I punched Doug. I mean, but he was gracious, and he was loving. He hasn't hated me, at least not yet, and he's still smiling. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. It's coming back around, he says. Praise God. Hallelujah. Josh, watch Doug. He wants to punch me. Yeah. See, what you need to do, Doug, is get yourself an usher. You get yourself an usher. We just made Steve an usher, right? Steve, watch Doug. You're right there. You're closer. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise. See, I ain't got to be tough and big and all that stuff. I just surround myself with the right people. That's all you need to do is surround yourself. See, that's good faith right there. Surround yourself with the right people. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. How far am I going? I'm going to 26. But someone will say, may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by the works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But you are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Now, when we think about works, we think about the big things we must obviously have to do to be in faith, right? We must go out, we have to go out and save, Mayville. We have to save Jamestown. We have to save Chautauqua County, because these are the works that it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. Do you know works are little, they can be little things every day.
Yeah.
Do you know a work is choosing the right thing at the right moment?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, you know what? I was going to do this and I know I'm not going to. That's faith with works. Because I'm doing it in faith. I'm doing it with expectation. Listen, if we step out in faith, if we need to know what faith is, it's just stepping out in faith. How do you, like you've made the first step. You've come to God because you've come to church and you wanted to hear more about God. Ding, there's a work that's a good work. Praise the Lord. So just make another step. Make another step. You know, you look at it and say, you're looking at something. You look at the door that's been closed, the opposition that the devil has brought to you. And you look at it and you say, you know what? This door is closed. It wouldn't behoove me to sit here and look at the door anymore. Right? Have you ever tried something that just failed, just flat failed? Well, why are you going to sit there and cry about it? Just move to something else. You can cry as you go on to something else, you know. Maybe you really missed that door. You wanted that door to open. And you'll cry all the way to the next door, and that's fine. Yeah. Cry, but at least move. That's faith. That's doing something. That's adding works. You know what's not works? It's sitting there looking at the door going, why isn't it opening? Why is it never going to open? You know, I understand? I'm not talking about a real door. You know what I mean? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Doors are life. Doors are opportunity. Yeah. We want to get into something. How do we do it? We move forward in faith. Yeah. You know, God started showing me a whole bunch of impossible things. What am I doing with that? I'm going forward in faith. I don't even know sometimes what I'm going for. I'm just going for it because I'm moving ahead in faith. Yeah. Amen? Sometimes you just got to keep moving to keep from getting stale. You know what I mean? My son had a car. We gave him a car. It was his first car. It wasn't a real great car, but we gave it to him. It was free, and he had it. And I told him, I said, you got to go out there every once in a while and often, probably at least once a week, and move it some so things don't rust up and lock up, you know, and Denny, don't make fun of me if this is not completely true, but in my experience, it's true, so I'll just stay with it. Pretend it's true, even if it's not, and we'll go with it, amen? Because it's not the scripture that I'm talking about. But I told him, you got to move that thing around. You can't just leave it sit. And guess what he did? He was 16 years old. He left it sit. He didn't go out there and take care of it, do what I told him to do. And as a result, when he went to use it, now everything, all these things had to be replaced, and it was more expensive. And why? Because it wasn't, you know, praise the Lord. Faith is the same thing. You just sit there, I have faith, but you don't ever do anything with it. Find something to be in faith about. You have nothing about. Listen, if you have nothing to be in faith, your life really has nothing to be in faith about, give me a call. I'll give you projects. Yeah. I'll give you some stuff you can start using your faith for. You're like, I can't come up with nothing. I just can't find nothing to have faith for. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I could hook you up with people that will keep you busy for the next year. With stuff. Well, more, but at least next year until you finally get tired enough that you don't want to listen anymore and decide you're going to have your own faith for stuff. Amen? There's things to use to stir faith up. Faith is it's something, it's a switch, it's a lever, it's something for us to activate. Have it. Jesus said, have it, so have it. Look at the lever of faith and say, I'm going to have it. Yes. Praise the Lord. How do you do that? You decide today, Pastor Jeff must be right because he's up there preaching and they let him do it for 8 years. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding. But maybe he's onto something because what I've been doing hasn't been working because that's really what I'm preaching against. What I'm preaching against is all the things in your life that have not been working for you. Yes. Look at those situations and say, okay, it's time to activate faith because I must not have, because if I had activated faith, something would have been different. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Was not Abraham our father justified by work, or was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Do you know God will perfect your faith? Do you know what perfect faith is? Speaking to a fig tree and saying, dry up from the roots, and it does. That's what it is. You know what perfect faith is? It's stepping out on the water when it's not frozen and walking across it. You know what perfect faith does? Perfect faith looks at somebody who can't see, looking into their eyes and saying, eyes be open in the name of Jesus. And they open and they see for the first time. That's what perfect faith is. You want to get there. You're never going to get there unless you start practicing it in the little things. If you don't start with it in the little things where you're at, you're never going to grow into the bigger things where it is. Amen. That's where God wants to take us. You ain't going to get there on your own, but you're going to only get there if you activate the tools that he's given you to get there. Amen. Glory to God. You know, in airports, they have those moving walkways. Have you ever seen those moving walkways to help you get somewhere just a little bit faster? And if you ever walked up to one of those and you just looked at it and thought, man, I'm not getting anywhere, you got to get on it for it to move. It's doing all the work, but you still got to get on it. That's activating faith. God will do all the work, but you got to get on it. You got to get on it with him. Amen. You see, your faith was working with his work. You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. By works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? This was just every day to her. She was just, like, all of a sudden there was these messengers in her day. She didn't know what to do. She was just like, well, they're in trouble, and I perceive that they're godly men, so I'm going to do something for them. It literally interrupted her day. It was just a simple step in her day. She probably didn't think she was moving in great faith when she sent the messengers out in the basket. She was just trying to do what she knew to do in that moment. Folks, we are presented with opportunities all the time. What are we going to do at the moment? We are walking out life just as every one of these people were walking out life. Abraham was just walking along, wanted a son, didn't think he was going to get one. God showed up, said, I'll give you one, but you got to trust me. And so he trusted him. And so finally, 20 years later, he gets a son. And then God says, put that son on an altar and sacrifice him to me. What did Abraham do? Did what he knew to do. God spoke. Now, God ain't telling any of you to sacrifice your children, just so you know. So don't. Amen. If faith works, or if faith with works is dead, or without works is dead, you must activate faith with works. It's one thing to say that you believe God. It's another to act like it. Do something. I'm going to close with a scripture. James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, that word intently, it means inspect curiously. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to use Denny again. Denny has a business where he fixes cars and he does inspections. Denny, if I came to you and hand you $20 and say, I want an inspection, but I don't want you to look at my vehicle, are you going to do it? Absolutely not. We know that he's a man of integrity. We know he won't do that. He's going to look at it, and he's going to inspect it. But back when I was younger, when I was a teenager, when I was 16 years old and got my first car, 17 years old, got my first car, that's not the way that it worked everywhere. Right. And I don't know about Denny's, but I just mean I know there it didn't. A lot of places it didn't work like that. You could walk into somewhere, and you could say, hey, here's a 20, and someone would hand you an inspection sticker and put it, and you could put it on your own car. Now, my first 10 cars would not pass any inspection, new or old. In fact, one time my brother took it. My brother worked in a garage, just, you know, doing simple stuff, cleaning the garage and oil changes maybe and stuff like that. And he brought my car down there one day to put these, they were kind of chains but not really on the car. I had a 1982 Chevette. It was rear wheel drive, and it would go about 35 miles an hour downhill with a good wind. Amen? And so this, yeah, absolutely. And my brother took it down there to have his boss, who owned the garage, to put chains on it. And, or actually my stepdad drove it down there. My brother was working at the time and dropped it off, and he left. And then my brother's boss was looking at the car, putting these chains on it, and he said, whose car is this? And my brother said, it's my brother's. My stepdad got it for him. You know, my stepdad was an old kind of country boy, you know, kind of did things just the way he wanted to do them and didn't necessarily, you know, it didn't matter. I have plenty of stories, but they'll be for another time. But at any rate, praise God, hallelujah. Candy, I think you might have ridden in that car one time. It's the car I almost lost Katie in when I went around a corner, the door flew open. Candy and I go way back, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was a surprise. That's how I discovered the door didn't work, right? Because when you went around the corner, it'd fly open. First drive, whoa, this car is fun. Whoa! You know. But anyway, back to the story. My brother's boss looks, he says, whose car is this? He says, my brother's. He's like, where did he get it? He says, my stepdad bought it for him. He said, does he hate him? Is he trying to kill him? Like, this car, man, I got stories about this car. I sold that car for $35 with puke in the back seat. Just Did I go too far on that? The end of the service. Almost lunchtime. Praise the Lord. That's not inspecting intently. That's not looking at it intently. That's just like, oh, here's a sticker, go. But see, that's a lot of people treat their faith. They just kind of look at it and they're like, you know, they just kind of treat their faith like, okay, there's a Bible, this is what it says, and I'll go on and do my day. Yeah. Look intently, yeah. Inspect curiously. Yeah. Get down on your hands and knees and look at it. See what's going on there. Realize it's a death trap. Yeah. What you're doing in life.
Yeah.
But God wants us to look intently at the perfect law of liberty. And they abide in it. The one who looks at it and really looks at it and wants to get all they can get out of it. And they abide in it. They live in it. They abide it. They live by it. I love it. It says that. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this one will be blessed in what he does or what they do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who's the one that's blessed? When they look at the law intently, they look at the Bible. How do you have faith? Start with Mark 11:22. Yeah. Jesus said, have faith in God. Yeah. Start there and look intently at it. Yeah. Look at it again and say, man, I just don't know. Look at it again. Dig up another scripture that your pastor preaches to you every week, because we don't just do this because it's fun. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Look at another one of those scriptures and look at it intently. And what you're going to start seeing is faith is going to start growing in you. Yeah. To the place where you ain't going to have it, you will just have it. I said you won't have to have it, you'll just have it. Amen? And that's where we all need to go to. Amen?